Joined in the studio here with Murray State University President Dr. Bob Davies. It's great to have you back with us today. Spring 2017 commencement is this Saturday. Are you ready for the big day?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a time of year if you're on a university campus and you're not excited, that's what gets you excited. But to be here at Murray State this time of the year, with all of the students who will be graduating, it's just a great time. You know, our official count's going to be north of 1,600. I think the official number that Tracy gave me was 1,629, and that includes graduates of not only May but also of August. And so that's the lives that we've touched, those 1,629 students, their families, their communities that they will serve. I mean, it's just a compounding number. So again, it's just a great time of year. Some things too, I think we sometimes lose sight of, because we're here at Murray State and we get to see all this excitement. Through my career, I've been at many universities, and some of the things that happen at Murray State, I think we really got to take stock in because of how it shows the pride of our soon to be graduates in the university. You cannot walk across our campus for this next week and not see individuals in cap and gown getting photographs, really living those memories and the friends and the family that they are bringing. To me, that is just a neat event that occurs, and it's so authentic. I think it's so very, very important. The other part about this, too, is, and this is the double-edged sword, it's going to make up for a long commencement, the percentage of students who graduate who actually walk. At many universities, I mean, they are hoping to get 30%. We're at 75% or thereabouts of the students who walk across commencement. They want to be part, they are part of the tradition. They want to have that moment to celebrate with their family, their friends, the students that they've worked with so hard, to have that moment. And again, those are just some intangible things that just adds to the mystique of Murray State, adds to the tradition of Murray State, adds to the sense of excellence that we have, that our students are that committed to the traditions and whatnot. And also the number of faculty and staff that come out on commencement day. Again, to see them there, to embrace, again, just a very important symbolic moment of really showing the commitment that we have as a family, as a university. We say that a lot, and this is one of those exercises that just gets my goosebumps going. It's just a lot of fun. And over the last week or so, I've been working on my own commencement speech and getting it very short, got to get it down. I understand that. But hearing the stories of our students and some of the things that they have sacrificed or have gone through to be here. You know, one of the neat stories, Kimberly Willett is a BST. She had a job. She quit the job. She moved to Murray. She enrolled, got a job as one of our BSTs, does the night crew, and working her way through college. And she's going to be walking across the stage. To me, that is just exciting. We've got another student from India who moved to the United States when she was 4 years old, lived in the Bronx since 9/11, moved around multiple times, came to Murray State, was doing well as a chemistry major, found the love of her life, got married, had a baby, dropped out of school, moved around again. They moved back to Kentucky where they started a small business here. She re-enrolled, now is a nursing student. She's walking across the stage, and a very important aspect of that too. Her younger brother is walking across the stage with her. She's going to start the doctorate nursing practitioner program this fall. Again, many, many stories along those lines. That's what this weekend's all about. And again, just excited to be part of it and excited to greet our graduates as they walk across the stage and however they want to do it. Some will just walk, some will hoot and holler, some will dance, some will do a flip. Last year we had one that tried to do a flip, but was more of a flop, but that's okay. Again, it's just that time for the students to be the spotlight, and to me that is just a really fun occasion.
And there's an honorary doctorate recipient.
Yes, John Williams is receiving his honorary doctorate. Outstanding business person, the founder and former CEO of CSI up in Paducah, instrumental in starting the TSM program here at Murray State University, instrumental in starting the Paducah campus and following up with many great things along those lines. His career path and his support of Murray State extends four to five decades. Just an amazing individual, and just honored to be able to bestow on him the honorary doctorate. A great leader, great person for Murray State, someone who's been outstanding for the region, and again, in his own right, he's done so many different things. It's very exciting to have him agree to receive our honorary doctorate.
There's a new partnership with the University of Louisville's 3+3 Accelerated Law Program offering a fast-track law degree for students. What was the impetus behind this?
Well, I point to our faculty in the political science department and working with specifically those that are pre-law and reaching out to the University of Louisville and developing this program. It is a very creative way to have two universities work together to combine the strengths of our political science program with the strengths of the University of Louisville law school program and provide a pathway for students to study at Murray State, to get on that pathway, to find a way to earn their law degree in a much shorter order. I think it's a neat program where the students will spend 3 years here at the Murray State campus, their fourth year as a senior is a combination of them earning the final classes that will be transferred back to Murray State, as well as taking the first year of the law school. Again, it's at the ability of two universities to work together to create a program and a partnership like this, I think, is very, very important. As we all know, performance funding is part of the mix, everything else. And so for our two universities also to put away the political side and say, what's in the best interest of the students? What's in the best interest of the Commonwealth to meet this need? And again, something I hold high in esteem for our faculty members in the political science area, Dean Stacy Stone, providing excellent leadership in that process and really developing a airtight proposal that was easy to move forward.
Performance funding is set to go into effect for this next academic year, and we've talked about this quite a bit in the past year. You mentioned in an address last week that credit progression, which is part of the metrics, does not include dual credits. Given the state-level emphasis on dual credit, this seems to add a caveat that affects all of the state universities. Does this suggest further academic specialization at a university level, or am I reading too much into it?
I think you're reading a little bit too much into it. I think that when we talk about the academic specialization, the progression is really about all students being moving forward in the 30, 60, and 90 areas. The goal is to get students to the bachelor's degree as soon as possible. The dual credit exemption was actually put in by the state legislators, and mainly because of the dual credit processes and where it fits into the different metrics and allowing the students to kind of choose that area. There's other parts where dual credit may or may not count. That's still being discussed in terms of, like, for example, total credit hours and those type of things. But for reasons that the legislators had, they did exempt it from the progression. And again, mainly because of the role of the K-12 in that process and various other things.
Does dual credit put a financial pressure on post-secondary institutions, or is there a greater enrollment tuition revenue opportunity?
It puts on a financial pressure for universities. First of all, our tuition that we're able to charge on the dual credits under the current existing model is one-third of the community college rate, which is off a lot less than what we charge. We're charging right now the per credit is around $54 a credit, so it's significantly reduced. And then those are credits that are earned before they come to Murray State. So there is or any of the universities. So there is a fiscal pressure point on that. Is it substantial and causing an overall burden? No, that's not the case at all. But it is not a cash cow. It is not a revenue generator for the universities at all. But it is the right thing to do. That provides a pathway for students to earn prior to coming to the university. It increases their likelihood of success, their likelihood of graduating within a reasonable period of time and those type of things. I think a key thing that we need to continue to stress with regards to dual credit, there's a lot of dual credit options out there. There's a lot of things that the students can take as they are given the plethora of opportunities with dual credit. I think it's important that we continually to advise, and we as not only universities, but K-12 and also the parents and others need to be involved in this discussion point, is what is the goal of the student? Is their goal just to take a bunch of credits, or is their goal to actually create a quicker pathway towards graduation? Because not all dual credits will be transferred to the university, and not all dual credits will then be utilized for a student's particular major or those type of things. So I think the students themselves, as juniors and seniors taking dual credits, need to be thinking about, where's my ultimate goal? Is my ultimate goal to go to a university and be a political science major and be part of this 3+3 program that we just talked about? And if so, the courses at dual credit that I need to be taking will align with that trajectory and that pathway. Or is my goal just to right now get used to the college experience, don't know what my major is, and so I could be a little bit more wide open. But again, understand that the dual credits I need to be focusing on are those that are going to be that will be used by the university as general education courses or things along those lines. We've had several students that have come, and this is not just at Murray State, but at many universities, where someone will come in with a lot of dual credit, but a lot of those credits are appropriate for the community college, are outside of the trajectory that they chose to go into. So again, it's about advising. It's about being thoughtful. It's about saying, what is the ultimate goal? And I think that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind, too, with the dual credit.
Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Secretary Hal Heiner recently delivered a speech at Murray State in which he outlined broad potential education reforms. There's a lot to unpack in this speech. What were some of your takeaways?
Well, there is a lot to unpack, and I really appreciate the secretary for coming to Murray State University and having the opportunity to listen to him firsthand, unfiltered, if you want to call it that way, with some of his ideas and some of his goals for higher education. And I think that there's a lot of things that he said that I agree with and I think that are important. For example, one of the things that he led off with his speech is something that I've talked about frequently as well, and that is the dramatic increase of technology. He didn't quote this, but basically he was using Moore's Law, which is that technology will double every year. And Moore's Law was Mr. Moore was the founder of Intel, and his goal was to double the amount of computing capacity on an inch by inch square every 2 years. Moore's Law has taken off, and it's being done about every 6 to 8 months now, and it's only going to increase. And so what does that mean for education? What does that mean for society? What does that mean for our current students as well as they go into graduation and into their career field? I also talk about, too, the Fuller curve. The Fuller curve is how often knowledge doubles. Before it was 500 years, before it was 250 years, now it's down to less than 4 years, and it's projected that by 2025 to be around 6 months. And again, what this is about is how we in higher education specifically prepare our students, and now it's soon to be graduates, to not only have technical skills, but also skills that and talents, more aptly, talents that will allow them to deal with ambiguity, to deal with the dynamic pace of change, the rapidness of change, and that will only increase and significantly increase the ability to communicate across borders, the ability to communicate to individuals who do not look like us, who do not have the same paradigms, do not have the same belief systems in our efforts. And how do we take the information at hand and realize that it's only part of the information and make cognizant decisions through logical thought process and determine what is apropos and what is not apropos? It is dealing with, dealing with ambiguity, dealing with the significant change. And to me, that's where higher education really comes into. That, again, we're not just teaching the technical skills, we are actually developing talents within our students, the talents of mindset of research, the mindset of communication, the mindset of asking questions and being able to divest in the answers and determine where do we fit in and making those decisions. One of the things that Mr. Heiner talked about was blurring the lines between high school and post-secondary, be it college or whatnot. And I understand exactly what he's referring to, and I think that it needs to be that seamless transition, and that's an important part of how do we continue to work with our K-12 partners, and they are partners. We need to be in this together, ensuring that the students who are wanting to go to a post-secondary education like at Murray State University are prepared academically, socially, that they understand the rigors that are going to be ahead of them, that they have the math skills, the English skills, the reading skills that are so very, very important, the persistence levels that needs to be so very, very high, the self-discipline that they will need to go through finals week, which we're doing right now. Those are the things that we need to continue to work with K-12, and having that sense of blurring is so very, very important. I think that one of the things that I firmly believe in higher education, and talk to all the graduates out, and I'll probably mention again on Saturday, is higher education is not to prepare you for your first job. That's not what we're here for. We're not here just to give you a skill so that you get that first job. What our job is to make sure you have the talents, that you will have a livelihood that is constructive and that is productive and that benefits society as well as the individual. We are preparing you for a career, and probably nowadays, careers as in plural, because of just, again, of the transformation of technology, the transformation of knowledge, and the leadership that we're trying to teach in part in all of our students.
Kentucky Labor Cabinet representatives were recently here in the region, and Communications Director Jared Hensley said, "Our secondary institutions and post-secondary institutions aligning their curriculum to meet the needs of local and regional employers, that's essential. So when you're in high school, you can see your career path ahead of you." And Deputy Labor Secretary Mike Nemus made some references to forced electives outside of majors, for instance, a music class for someone going to school for X-ray imaging. Should there be a more direct point A to point B alignment in university coursework?
I think point A to point B alignment in life is also is not direct. It is a wide, vast array. The goal of higher education, obviously, is to impart certain skills individuals so that they can perform at a functional level. But we're also talking about training individuals for a whole life and also the whole soul. When I look back on my college career, when I look back and think about the various classes, there are obviously, I think every student would say, well, why did I take that one class? But some of those one classes, I thought, why am I taking this, a philosophy class, has actually provided an opportunity for me to think about things differently, to look at problems differently, to look at the environment in a different light. And when we think about music, it's not just about the music, it's about the creative abilities that go into that process. And we always use this cliche, I got to think outside the box. I got to think anew. I got to think about this differently. The creative pursuits and the art pursuits are one of the best ways that actually teaches individuals and imparts the talents of individuals to look at things differently, to look at things from a different perspective, to look at it from not only a different perspective of oneself, but also to be able to look at it from the different perspective of other individuals. And so, again, as we think about creating the whole person, the whole idea, those classes that sometimes we think, a music degree is not needed for an engineer, there's a lot of elements that play into that, a lot of elements that play into those creative pursuits. One of the world's greatest inventors was Da Vinci. Excellent in science, excellent in math, but also an amazing artist and very creative and able to take things from the art world and play it into the inventions that he's created. To me, that is the epitome of what we're trying to create. And the ability that he brought and the importance of math to the arts and the importance of arts to math. And to me, that is what we're all about. Recently, on Honors Day celebration, one of the Professor Gibson out of the math department gave us a snippet of one of his lectures about how to measure the circumference of the world and how it was done. I think the time frame was around 300 BC, and how the individual was able to do it through a creative process based on learnings from art, that he was actually within about 50 miles of the circumference of the world, where we didn't have maps, we didn't have satellites, we didn't have geosciences, but he had a creative opportunity based on art and applied the math science to that. And so to invent the impossible was art and math coming together. And when Professor Gibson presented that and walked us through the process, even I got it. And that was that in itself was the impossible. But it was so very, very instructive to hear him go through that with, again, matching the arts, matching the music, matching the visual arts, and to come in within 50 miles. And of course, they weren't miles back then. They were called stadia, which he went into the historical context about. But again, that is the power of creative thought. And that is why sometimes that music class that we all, art appreciation, music appreciation, at the time may seem irrelevant, but it creates the whole person. And hopefully we'll strike a creative insights that will be able to be used to solve a problem 15 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask about the Missouri Valley Conference selecting Valparaiso over Murray State and other universities. It was announcement this week, big news this week. MSU will stay with the Ohio Valley Conference. So what are your thoughts on this?
We were in a perfect position. We are proud members. We're founding members of the Ohio Valley Conference. We have great rivalries. We have great universities that we compete against. You know, again, we were presented, and I will say that the Missouri Valley came to us and presented this as a possibility, as an alternative. And there are great advantages, too, if we were selected for the Missouri Valley Conference. That would have helped us in many different ways. Again, a great set of universities and those type of things. We went through the process. They made a decision based on the facts that they have at hand. We commend them on the process. We thank them for the opportunity. It helped us and whenever you go through a review along these lines, it was very, very intense, but really confirmed that our athletic department is doing some things extremely well. The first is we have very competitive teams. That, to me, though, is not the most important part. The most important part is the academics that goes along with that. Not only for our student-athletes, which have very solid graduation rates, so there's in the NC2A, it's called APR, Academic Progress Rate, where all of our teams are well above where they're supposed to be. They're well above the averages. To see that and their competitive on the field is very important, but also to see how that translates in supporting and advancing the university in many ways. Over this period of time, we received hundreds of thousands of impressions through various social media, news outlets, and everything else, and it always put Murray State in extremely high esteem to be compared to some of the universities that were talking to us and saying that you're on par with us, to see their rankings and various things. So I think that is extremely important. The outpouring of support from the fans, the alumni, a lot of faculty and staff, too, are very supportive of this discussion, and so I want to thank them as well. Some of the faculty and staff obviously thought, you know, this is not a good idea, and I understand that, too, but it provided a very robust discussion of the where athletics fits within a university. It was not a bad thing to go through whatsoever. We remain in the Ohio Valley Conference. I've received numerous of emails from my presidential peers through the entire process, wishing us luck if it was the right move for us, that it would come to fruition. But at the same time, if it didn't, we're proud members of the Ohio Valley, and we've got great friendships there. And we will continue to go out and do things right. We will compete. We will graduate students. We will be good citizens, and we will represent. And they will represent Murray State in very fine fashion. Who knows where the future holds? We'll just keep on going. But right now, we're excited to focus back in on the year ahead, and we will move forward.
Murray State University President Dr. Bob Davies, I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Again, this is an exciting time to be at Murray State. This is such an enjoyable time to celebrate the accomplishments of our students, but also the accomplishments of our university and the faculty and staff that do amazing jobs here, and the support we receive from all alumni. So again, take this time, take this moment to enjoy it. This is what it's all about. This is what we're here for, is to see these students walk across the stage and go out and do amazing things. So with that, God bless and go Racers.